Hey, hello. Welcome back to Heavy Typing. I'm Frank Hagen. This is our fifth episode. I'm not sure if that's a significant milestone, but I'm happy to celebrate it regardless. Next week, we'll have a bonus episode where I read another short story. But right now, we're going to hear chapter 3 from my novel, Marked for Harm. I hope that everyone is enjoying the podcast so far. If you'd like, send an email to info@heavytyping.com. I'd love to hear from you. Chapter 3, Psychedelic Road Dogs. You might be curious as to why I didn't look inside the boxes to examine the product, but you should know that this, quite simply, would have been unprofessional. Not to mention that tampering is often a high-risk affair. 100% of the time, that sort of curiosity leads to undesired consequences. A professional will never bother to know that kind of detail, assuming there is no practical reason to know. General rule when dealing with criminals: if the client offers no information, don't ask for any. When a mission involves some kind of disposal of evidence, then it has to be dealt with using a lot of tact. You want to keep your hands clean as much as possible while preserving the plausibility of your later denials. Since I can't seem to stop myself from being honest in my current reflections, I have to add that these statements are accompanied with a sick feeling of sadness. I can taste the salt of my figurative tears, but perhaps there is healing in these feelings. I won't pretend to know. I was driving, performing my paranoid preemptive diversions, taking the less trafficked roads, when I had no choice but to jump onto the highway for a while. I was on that fast, multi-laned road for about half an hour when I was able to take the exit ramp to a more rural area. I guided the spider through winding roads which weaved through farmland, and I rolled the driver's side window down. The aroma of animal feces was heavy in the air. Farmers, once again. Earth philosophers. But the air also had a pleasant crispness to it, which I took in joyfully. After a while, I stopped for gas at one of those country stores that seemed to sell everything except anything you might want. Lots of Christian products. The old lady who ran the shop sold me a six-pack of cola, a bag of Reese's Pieces, and told me to have a blessed day. "I'll take all the miracles I can get," I said, smiling. "Amen, son," she affirmed. The store was crowded with unsold items, dim and dusty on high shelves. There was a chime hanging on the entrance door, but it rattled instead of ringing when I entered. The proprietor looked to be in her 80s, 70s at least. Her skin was wrinkled and odd hairs grew from warts, but she was one of those people whose smile made them seem sweet. Her eyes seemed to know the history of the world. I felt guilty just being in her presence. There were brands of cereal for sale that I had forgotten existed. Shopping there was literally time travel. In addition to the snacks and gas, I had also grabbed the CD of J.S. Bach's orchestral works from a discount bin where everything was marked $1. Johann Sebastian was someone I felt I could rely on. Pipe organ music had gotten inside of my head. I had the music turned up loudly as I corkscrewed through endless acres of tilled earth, staring out at a golden and green sea full of cows, goats, horses, alpacas. It was like Noah's Ark had broken open upon the rolling hills. At times, corn grew in thick plots that closed the road in on either side. I took it all in from the driver's seat. It was, in fact, a beautiful day. The clouds were like cartoons drawn onto the sky, and they seemed to just hover, huge and unchanging. The music was intense. A solo pianist took full command of the keyboard, and the orchestra served his passing movements across the keys, accentuating just at the right moments and otherwise laying back. I was lost in the midst of a rapturous movement of music when the angular buzz of motorcycle engines roared through the keybender's masterful performance, startling me. It was like the phone ringing after waiting impatiently for an expected call and having given up. Beads of sweat formed on my forehead and the palms of my hands felt wet on the steering wheel. I was ready, I thought. About half dozen bikers caught up with me, riding America's sacred metal beasts, the modern bison, Harleys. Metal chromed and loud. The bikers checked out the defaced luxury car with smiles, giving each other nods and thumbs up. One of them, a man, probably in his late 40s, with a jaw that was considerably out of alignment, had killer motherfuckers tattooed on one of his huge, bare shoulders. Their frayed war jackets were embroidered with psychedelic road dogs insignias. I had never heard of them. Several of the bikers spat aimlessly as they passed. Another of the men, a leathery mid-aged gentleman with long braided gray hair and a mouth full of shining crowns, nodded at me as if we were in agreement about something. I deliberated the possibility of returning the gesture, but the moment passed too quickly. I was watching them, trying to appear unfazed, while instinctively reaching under the seat and feeling around. No weapons. That wasn't my style anyway. There would be little I could do to defend myself against a squad of this size anyway. Killer motherfuckers pulled into the lane in front of me and slowed down, forcing me to follow suit. Two of the other bikers pulled up alongside me on my right-hand side, riding on the shoulder of the road, while two others pulled up on my left, driving in the oncoming lane. The closest biker on the left was a mohawked, muscular woman with a broken-looking nose and hemorrhoid stitched across the shoulder of her jacket. With one hand, she took hits from a small glass pipe. Smoke poured from her nostrils. The circlets of her many nose rings vibrated from the imperfectly smooth road. She had caved in veins and ugly round marks on her arms consistent with needle abuse. When a sixth biker came up behind me so that the spider was surrounded, panic entered my bloodstream and radiated outward in a slow wave. I felt lightheaded and overly self-aware. I noticed that the fuel gauge indicated that the tank was less full than it should have been, having literally just filled it. I drove with my entourage, examining each one of them in turn. They were a hard-looking lot, formidable in the way they took their time. An impatient crew would have been less menacing. If they were there to cause me problems, the problems would be significant. I strategized in silence, weighing the sacrifices of any gambit I might make, but there was no move worth taking. My only real choice would have been to use the car offensively and hope that I could outrun the pack. Suddenly, as the tension peaked within me, killer motherfuckers raised a fist, accelerated, and took off. The others hit the gas as well, following very fast in a hum of acceleration. The bald-headed biker who was behind me spat at my window as he passed, leaving a huge wet glob on the passenger side window. He yelled something seemingly with disgust, but I couldn't understand what he had said over the thunder of all the bike's engines. A shotgun was mounted vertically to the exaggerated exhaust pipe which jutted up from the back of his Harley. The psychedelic road dogs disappeared from view as they teetered into an acute angle, taking a bend in the road. In their wake, I continued to drive at my slowed pace, traveling along the now quiet road. It ran parallel to a sunken creek, overgrown with old, white-barked birch trees and wildflowers, weaving an unstraight line through the country. The interior of the car was filled with wind and loud classical music. I reached inside of my coat, undid the cap on my flask, and took a long drink before stuffing it between the gearbox and the passenger seat. I was happy to be left undisturbed, physically at least, but my heart was pounding in my chest. I turned off the music and drove for some time in silence until my mind began to wander again. I felt enormous regret about my decision to take this job. Looking at it now, I can only wonder if the decision was mine to make. I tried to push the regret from my mind, taking deep breaths. There had been a time when I was very concerned about the sexual needs of people on other planets. Life, I should say. I spent a lot of time visualizing what it might be like, and of course, getting myself off. With everything as weird as it was to become, you'll understand why I'm sharing this. It's not like I haven't always been open sexually. My reputation says it all, and it's mostly true. It's not like typical bullshit that gets passed around. If something ever got around about me that wasn't true, I'd probably consider it an obligation to honor the rumor by attempting to fulfill it. In any event, I don't know how to describe what it was about alien genitalia that fascinated me so much. Too much Star Trek as a kid, probably. Ultimately, it comes down to novelty seeking, really. When the only kinds of people I haven't slept with are in outer space, it's not too much to suppose that I would go looking there for some new kind of challenge. It's the arousal of the unattainable role in the cosmic hay. As my anxiety receded and I began to relax again, the biker's gone, my mind wandered in the direction of the heavens and the myriad strange planets swirling about within them. I thought about old fantasies and made new ones, inspired by the rusted, collapsed barns, overgrown and overtaken, and the animals laying in their stinking fields. I massaged my erection through my pants and unzipped them with my right hand as I steered the car with my left. Biddy Thub, as my member was once legally known, flopped out of my pants, pulsating with anticipation. I tried to take the road's curves carefully, but repeatedly edged over the center and shoulder lines as I wrestled to contain myself. I rocked my hips in the seat and stroked harder as I visualized incomprehensible space sex with inhuman life. No longer on the road or in the car, but somewhere else completely. Methane rain poured down in an alien storm as gelatinous blobs mounted me, and as I was penetrated by some tangle of energized tentacles. It was more and more difficult to navigate the curving, rolling road. I came irresponsibly, ejaculating onto my pants and shirt. The car swerved, but I was alone on the road. The steering wheel got sticky as I took control with both hands again, and I licked my fingers clean with only a little shame. I wondered in passing if maybe I was, in fact, an alien. I feel almost sure of it now. Just as it must be 5 o'clock somewhere, surely there is a planet I was not born on. I can't even begin to express how incredibly stupid I felt immediately afterward. I couldn't believe I had made such a mess all over the goddamn car and made a mental note to wipe it down as soon as I arrived. No DNA left behind, as I used to say.